I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, welcome to the Football Drop Podcast.
Hello,
how are we doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Not too bad. Well, I say not too bad. I feel like absolute shit.
Yeah, you're sick note Salisbury this week.
Ah, oh, mate, I've taken over from you, haven't I? Lightheaded, feeling sick.
No, you just want to be me. Literally, everything I do, you just want to be me. I get a Samsung watch. You get a Samsung watch. I get grey tiles on my wall, you get grey tiles on your wall. I'm sick, you're sick.
Yeah. Anything else?
No, there's loads, I just can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah. I thought the list seemed a little bit light from your normal bullshit that
you moved house, you moved house. I got a new phone, yeah. You got a new phone. I got a wireless charger, you got a wireless charger.
Fucking hell, you spout so much shit. Here we go.
Keep going. How are you? How are you feeling though?
Rough, mate. Yeah, really, really rough. I don't know if it's the vid. I don't know what it is.
Oh, have you taken the test?
It can fuck off. Nah, I haven't caught any. And even if I did have some, right? Now, I'm not saying this is what I think, but what do I do if I have got it? Like, what does it matter?
Yeah, it doesn't really. I mean, you should probably try and work from home where possible, so you're not spreading it as much, but. It's just the same as a cold, isn't it, really?
Well,
it is nowadays, for sure.
Exactly. So what do I do?
Just stay at home, mate. Stay at home, record some podcasts, and enjoy yourself.
Sure thing. Sure thing, Batman.
That's exactly what I think you should do.
Okay. I don't know why I called you Batman. I don't know what's happening.
Because you are the Robin to my Batman.
Yeah. Thanks. Why do I have to be Robin? Why can't I be Batman?
Because you called me Batman, so you knew your place.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I haven't forced any of this. It is literally all on you. And then you moan about what you're saying.
Oh, my God. It's been a long day. how are you? More importantly, how are you?
Yeah, I'm getting there, mate. Slowly but surely. Slowly but surely. Just count down the days to my specialist appointment on Thursday.
Oh, is that Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that with the bum clinic?
No, it's the ear, mouth and throat surgeon.
Oh, a surgeon?
Yeah, he's a surgeon and a consultant. He's like Sam, basically.
Why are you seeing a surgeon? Are you having surgery?
No, he's just a consultant doctor person. He's not a surgeon.
I was going to say, is this another fucking thing that you've not told me that you're now having surgery?
Oh, here we go. He's going on again, isn't he? You really were upset by that, wasn't you?
There was the jumper, then there was the engagement party, and now you're having surgery and I don't even know about it.
Mate, you was there at the engagement. I told you, and I didn't tell Laura, you should feel honoured.
You to be fair,
you were getting engaged like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully getting engaged. I couldn't guarantee she'd say yes, but I had a sneaky suspicion.
Yeah. Fucking hell. God, can you imagine if she'd have said no? I'd have had that on camera. That I couldn't bring that out straight away, could I? I'd have to wait a bit before ripping you on that one if she said no.
Oh, yeah. I think I would have just jumped into the sea then at that point and swam over, grabbed your phone and thrown it into the sea just to make sure there was no evidence of that.
Because
I couldn't live that down. All right, I'll back every other picture up apart from that one.
Yeah. By the time you got over, you was fucking going viral.
Fuck me, you do move quickly. Selja's right.
Yeah. Oh, mate, I must say, she's been an absolute diamond looking after me.
Oh,
she's been sympathetic Selge.
Sympathetic Selge, is that the new name?
That's the new name, Sympathetic Selge, yeah.
Nice.
It's been 24 hours.
It's a brand new name.
She's not got angry at me.
Not yet. Still time.
Not yet. Still time. Still early. She's doing better than she normally does.
Some may say she's lasted 23 hours more than most people.
Some may say that. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. yeah, despite my whimpers and like... Oh, I feel so ill.
You're not really doing that, are you?
Yeah, mate, honestly, I felt so bad.
To be fair,
you've got to do that.
Selfie you sent this morning did look rough.
Cheers.
Yeah, I mean that in the nicest way, but yeah, you looked like death.
Thank you.
Yeah, but you're looking better now. Well done. Good job. Good job.
Cheers, mate.
We need Anything to mention news some news. Well done. Great minds think alike. We missed out on a bit of big news last week. Wayne Rooney has now taken over as head coach of Birmingham City.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a weird move. I don't understand it.
Why?
Because Birmingham are flying. Birmingham are flying at the moment. They're sixth. They finished 17th last season. They're now sixth in the league at the moment. So they sack their manager and get Wayne Rooney in, who's unproven at that level.
He's going to take them to the Premiership next season.
No, he said that.
No, he is going to win the Champions League within 3 years, basically. Premier League next season, then into the Champions League, then 3 years, won it.
What, with Birmingham or someone else?
No, with Birmingham.
How the hell have you worked that one out?
Don't know, but Paul's just creamed his pants.
What, is Bellingham coming back?
Bellingham's back.
Unretiring the shirt.
Unretired the shirt. Oh! It's almost like we've said this before.
Oh, mate, we are too funny.
Too NSYNC, funny. Mate.
NSYNC, Justin Timberlake all the way.
You know it.
You know it. We've got a special episode this week.
We have got a special episode this week.
This week, like today, right now, coming
today,
up in the next
now.
The next part. Have you ever heard of Man vs. Fat?
Ooh, yes, but go on, tell me more, because I've never heard of it.
Well, it's a nice way for men to get together, play football and lose weight, make it competitive, make it exciting, make a bit of a challenge. They're set up all around the UK. It seems to be popping up at every sort of five-a-side, six-a-side league at the moment. Growing, it seems to be week on week at the moment. So we have the man who runs it all on a day-to-day, the entire UK operation. So he will be joining us a little bit later on in the show and tell us all about it, really, which is going to be quite exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. What are you laughing at?
And he'll be... joining us later in the show. Like, you was on fucking primetime radio. Mate, you're on a podcast that no one likes. Fucking sort yourself out.
I'd like to point out, we are going massive in America now.
We are, mate.
Hearts of
the Street
Radio are smashing it. Our viewers have gone up like by five or six. It's amazing.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's incredible. They're loving it.
Knocked out of the park, mate.
Doing well, mate. Doing really, really well. But no, yes, in all seriousness, we've got Richard Crick coming up next.
We have. So should we take a quick break and then we'll get him on?
Or we could just get him on now because no one will know because it's just a podcast and we can edit it. So let's just get him on, yeah?
Let's get him on.
Hi, guys. Make sure you're following us on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter so you don't miss a thing. How could you? Instagram is at Football Drop Podcast. Twitter is at Football Drop Pod. Thanks, Will, for that. Or just search us on Facebook, Football Drop Podcast. So we've got Richard Crick here, who is from Man v Fat. I'll just let you introduce yourself, Richard, if that's all right.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, good to meet you, chaps. Yeah, so my name's Richard Crick. I head up Man v Fat Football here across the UK.
Perfect. Thank you for coming on today. Really appreciate it. I know it's quite last minute as well. I was like, oh, are you about at all? So really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
So just for the listeners side of things, before we go into the whole Man v Fat side of things, tell us a little bit about yourself and what team you support, how you kind of got into the football side of things and everything from there, if you can.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so I'm a football fanatic, much to my other half's great upset. Watch football, play football, work in football, addicted to Football Manager. there's a number of themes, but for my sins, I'm a Colchester United season ticket holder, which is a particularly painful experience at the moment. We got drummed 5-0 at the weekend by Forest Green, who hadn't won since March at home, I think, and haven't won this season. Yeah, so a few sort of spats going on at the club and things, I think. So yeah, it's been an interesting time there. I do try and get along to the Arsenal as well occasionally. So I was fortunate enough to have a ticket for the City game a few weeks ago. So that was an enjoyable experience as well.
Amazing.
Yeah, play Sunday League football, and as I say, yeah, head up the team here at Man v Fat Football.
Lovely.
What position do you play?
So naturally, I'm a winger. Although I have found that in my recent aging years, I've found myself playing a few games at fullback and the odd game at wing back, which is quite painful for a man of 37 years old. But nevertheless, I'll give it a good go. Embraced it.
Will is very familiar with that sort of receding line.
Only saying this the other day.
Yeah, when you're playing Sunday League and there's guys who are like 17, 18 and you're like, oh, do I want to go and play vets football yet?
You need to give them about 5 yards and then start running before they do.
You know what? So pace is about the only thing that I've got in my game. And somehow I've been blessed with keeping it up until now. So I'm holding on to that. But yeah, the day that goes is probably the day that I step into vets or go back to small-sided stuff.
Yeah, can't say I blame you on that one. before we get into it, you said that you went to the Arsenal game a few weeks ago. So I unfortunately was ill, so I couldn't watch it. Will watched bits of it and said, like, parts of the game, but everyone's been sort of slating it, saying, oh, it's a bit of a boring game, blah, blah, blah. Now, Will said the atmosphere seemed amazing on TV. What was it actually like there?
Do you know what? It was good, but I wouldn't say amazing, I have to say. I mean, there's no doubt that at the Emirates now, it is so much of a sweeter place than it was a couple of seasons ago, you know, and everyone's moving in the same direction. You know, there's, you know, even stuff like playing North London Forever at the beginning and stuff is getting the crowd up, and it's, you know, it feels like it's a positive place to go. But the game itself, you could tell that there was just a number of tactics that both managers had put in, and they, you know, categorically told the keeper, for example, like, don't play it out until you're pushed. And the striker had obviously been told, don't push him, you know, and you could just see the standoff. And there was times where for sort of 10, 15 seconds, almost the crowd was ready to boo because it was just like, well, you know, it's a bit of a like, who's gonna budge first?
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, last-minute goal is always going to make a day out, right? And, I mean, being totally honest, a draw against City after, I think, probably 14 losses in the league back-to-back is probably a result you'd have taken. So to get 1-0, was quite something.
Interesting. Yeah, because all the pundits, They were absolutely slating it. Oh, it's one of the worst games of football ever. Like, it's a well deserved win, but it was a real boring game. But it's just nice to see someone's actually there. Just the fact that you sort of said it. I was like, I've got to pounce on this. I've got to ask. but no, so let's talk about a little bit about your kind of career and your background then. Because I was stalking your LinkedIn a little bit. So obviously, outside of Man v Fat, you're also co-owner of Stadium Hoppers and Run a Day. Is that still there?
So both things, do you know what? Both things stopped. One, funnily enough, stopped during COVID and to launch the other one. And then just the day job has become too busy, really. So both things are sort of were sort of background sidelines, really, things that I was passionate about and doing with friends. But Stadium Hoppers was something that we did for 6 or 7 years and took me to some absolutely amazing places. We visited Tromso as part of that. So Tromso is the most northerly, Tromso IL are the most northerly northerly professional football team in the world. They had Morten Gamst Pedersen as their captain when we went to see them.
Oh, wow.
And the club was so welcoming. So they sorted us out tickets. We played a match on the stadium after their game against Rosenborg in the league. And we went and watched them train, interviewed Morten Gamst the next day as well. So yeah, that was fantastic. But that was almost like Stadium Hoppers was basically a football scratch map. So you would have the 92 stadiums in the UK all illustrated on a giant map. And then when you went to visit one of those stadiums, you would just quite simply scratch it off. And that was your way of tracking doing the 92.
Oh, amazing.
So we literally came up with the idea, my friend and I. He's a sports photographer by background, so he gets around to a lot of the grounds and stuff. And he's a complete stadium nerd. He knows so much more than I do in that world. So he was sort of like the stadium brains. I was more of the business side of things and partnership side of things. But yeah, it did really well. It acted as a really good gift at Christmas. And we met some incredible people. We ended up working with a number of clubs. We got invited along to celebrity football match days. We, as I say, visited Tromso, we visited Ghent, we visited quite a few stadiums in the US as well. So yeah, it was a really, really interesting thing to do. And to be honest, I mean, both of us miss it. So it may well come back, but the socials are still active. We've still got 7,000 followers on Twitter, 20,000 followers on Instagram. So yeah, check it out. Have a look. As I say, we still post from time and yeah, got to do some amazing things to it.
God, that's honestly, it feels like living a sort of football fan's like fantasy, that just getting to go to all the grounds. Like, we've said it before on this podcast so many times, we want to go to more games, but like the day job, you know, interacts with things. Will's got a little one as well. I say little one, he's what, 8 now? It's not exactly a little one, but
soon he'll be right.
Yeah, well, he's just got into football as well, isn't he, your boy?
He has, yeah, he wants to be a goalkeeper now. So.
Has he picked a team yet?
He's a gooner.
Good lad.
I don't think he had much choice in that, to be honest, did he?
No choice in that. No, he's the gooner. Been told.
But, Carl, that sounds I mean, bloody cool, though.
The stadiums you can go to, I mean, there's obviously stuff like, you know, Fulham in the Premier League, Craven Cottage, absolutely incredible ground to visit. If you haven't been there, that's definitely one.
It is cool.
But even some of the real sort of, what's the term, sort of sawdust style stadiums, like the ones that are dated back. I mean, I think I went to Hereford just before that got closed down, and stadiums like that. I think it was the old Hive, maybe. Yeah, just some incredible stadiums that are out there that are, you know, Kenilworth Road before even the slight redevelopment stuff that they've gone. You know, people are now seeing in the Premier League that EFL fans were very used to walking through a knocked-in terraced house to walk through two people's gardens. Literally, the iron steps go over two people's gardens before you get into the stand and things. You know, there's some incredible places you can go.
Yeah, since they got promoted, that's the one thing that you've seen literally plastered over every social media, like every sports media out there. It's always posting the same picture. And I'm just like, I need to go and see this. So 100%, I want to try and get tickets, hopefully before the end of the season, because
They're moving, aren't they, at the end of the season, I think. So they'll be in the new stadium, I think, next season. So.
Oh, is it next season, is it? Oh.
I believe so, okay. Yeah, because they were quite aggrieved because they've had to have spent million pounds on doing up the ground to only throw it away next season.
I thought it was a few.
It'll be at a different stadium, so yeah.
So there we go. Well, we've got to get there before the end of the season, mate. got to go and see
that. Yeah, well, I have been to Kenilworth Road, and yeah, I did enjoy the atmosphere. Oh,
just me. I'll go on my own. That's fine. Ticket
but
for
yeah,
one.
I'm not. I'm not turning you down, mate. It's a date.
Goodison. Goodison's the other one as well. I think Goodison is. I think that Everton are moving next season as well.
Yeah, that's right. Bradley Moore Dockers now, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be. It looks a beautiful stadium from the plans of that as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, but then they all look very glamorous on the plans, don't they? And it's I think it's that bringing it to life type thing. I mean, as a Colchester fan who spent years going to Layer Road, you know, 20 years odd going to Layer Road, which was, you know, you could literally tap the players on the back as they went to take a throw in. And that atmosphere was absolutely electric, and everyone was, you know, battering the advertising boards and that type of thing. Everyone was excited about going to what is now the JobServe Stadium. And, you know, it's basically a giant carbon copy of, I think it's Bournemouth, actually. I think Bournemouth and Colchester have got exactly the same stadiums when they were built, almost 10,000 seats, but obviously Bournemouth have done bits and pieces to them, to their ground. But it's just very soulless. Do you know what I mean? It's not full. It's in the middle of a, well, it has been in the middle of a field. Now there's a retail park opening very soon, but it just doesn't feel like the, you know, the Rico Arena is another great example of a stadium that feels soulless in comparison to what Highfield Road was like, for example, that real football experience.
Yeah.
Similar to West Ham, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, the West Ham's such a shame. Because obviously the bowling ground had such an atmosphere, didn't it, prior? And obviously moving, it's like the Emirates. It was dead for the first 10, 15 years, wasn't it?
Do you know what, though? The new Olympic Stadium's an interesting one. I was lucky enough to go there during the 2012 Paralympics and went down to see some of the stuff going on there. And, I mean, it was a great athletics stadium. But actually, the stuff they've done behind the goals specifically is really sort of, you know, you can get a good atmosphere down there. I think it's more if you're up in the gods. I don't know if you saw the piece that went viral the first couple of weeks in where they'd actually given people ticket numbers and seat numbers, but they hadn't actually built the seats yet. So there was people who were
at
the top of, it was incredible. You've got to find
that.
It online. People were looking at their ticket number and the seats just hadn't been put there yet. So there was just these concrete blocks and people were just sat on the concrete blocks. It was golden.
Absolute disaster. I'm surprised that I didn't see that, because that's something like that you'd normally get quite a lot of coverage. Yeah. So yeah, I must have just probably just in my memory somewhere and just bypassed that. It wasn't my club, so I didn't click it, sort of thing.
Doesn't care.
Yeah, out of sight, out of mind. okay, so I mean that sounds pretty cool. I mean, you clearly obviously know your knowledge about the football grounds as well. Yeah, tons more than what Will and I know. So how did the whole sort of Man v Fat come about then?
Yeah, so, I mean, Man v Fat is 10 years old this year, or in 2024. So we're just about to go into our 10th year, which is really exciting. We've got a number of bits and pieces sort of lined up for that. Man v Fat was actually conceived, I suppose, as such by a food critic and journalist called Andrew Shanahan, or Shan as many of us know him. Effectively, he was going out as a food critic, getting very well fed at local restaurants, putting on a fair bit of timber. And then he sort of, after a while of this, he decided that actually he wanted to shed a few pounds. So he went to a sort of a more traditional slimming type class that you would often get in your community, you know, Weight Watchers type style thing. Found that he was quite literally the only man there. And that week they were talking about Star Week and how your body may fluctuate at a very special time of the month. And he figured that definitely wasn't for him. And so he basically decided, right, I can't be dealing with this. I've got to do something about it. So he set up Man v Fat originally as an online web forum. And he also wrote something called Man v Fat, the Weight Loss Manual. So and the idea was to start to engage guys, because only still today, even 10 years on, only 15% of those who receive weight loss support in the UK are male, despite the fact that actually excess weight is carried almost exactly the same by men and women across the wider population. So he knew there was a need there, and he sort of came up with the Man v Fat concept. A couple of years in, people like myself were saying, look, you know, the brand is great, but actually to support as many men as possible, you need to enter almost like the public health world. How do we get this out to the masses? How do you get anything out with to a mass of middle-aged and younger men? Football.
Football.
and the concept of Man Be Fat Football was born. And the idea was that it wouldn't just be a football league for overweight guys. There would actually be a more of a concept behind it, and we would look at almost like the behaviour change elements to get guys to change their to basically adopt healthier behaviours. So we call Man Be Fat the league where losers win. The whole reason for that is that guys will effectively play a game of football against each other. The guys would sign up individually, so they have to be over 18, have a BMI of 27.5 or above, and be male. When you sign up via the website, manbefatfootball.org, you effectively pick which club you would like to go and play at. So we've got 150 Man Be Fat football clubs up and down the UK. Some of them are with in partnership with EFL and Premier League clubs. So we work with the Newcastle United Foundation, for example. We work with Exeter City. We work with Cambridge United. So we work with a huge number of pro football clubs. And effectively, the guys are, as I say, put into that six-a-side team. But prior to their game, they would weigh in as a team. And for every two guys who lose weight, they get an additional goal on the pitch. So, example, Will, if you're playing Ben's team, as an example, and six of your guys lose weight and none of Ben's guys lose weight this week, and then Ben does you 2-0 on the pitch, you'll come off the pitch. The next day, you look at the league table and actually, Will, your team's beating Ben's team 3-2 overall because your guys took the weight loss seriously and Ben's didn't. Yeah, that's really the sort of concept. We have a number of different bonus goals for things like 5% weight loss, 10% weight loss, hat tricks, so 3 weeks consecutive weight loss, and also for tracking, so keeping an eye on your food and activity diary, showing that to your Man Be Fat coach so that they can look at where you can make some changes and things. But yeah, that effectively is the concept, and we started that 7 years ago in Fox Hollies as one club of sort of 60 guys. And we're now at 8,000 men playing Man Be Fat football across the UK every single week.
8,000? That's fantastic.
Amazing. So so you've got coaches there who will is like fitness dietitians, are they? Or
so, do you know what? When we started out, the vast majority of the workforce were dietitians, nutritionalists, PTs, guys that were passionate. You know, even the odd football coach with some sort of fitness background. Now, about 50% of the workforce is actually former Man Be Fat members who have gone through the program, who have had lived experience of obesity, losing weight, going through Man Be Fat football, and then wanting to support other men. And obviously, they act as an inspiration for other guys. We have an assistant coaches program as well, where guys get a complimentary membership once that they've lost a significant amount of weight and want to assist the coach in the delivery each week. And we're often finding that they're sort of our coaches of tomorrow as well. So, yeah, having a sort of a mixed workforce of people like myself who have come in from more of a public health, community sport type background, but also, you know, even those who work at Man Be Fat HQ with myself. So probably three or four of the team have graduated from the football leagues, gone on to be Man Be Fat coaches, and then actually ended up as regional managers or working in our player support team. So, yeah, we've got a real nice mix, really, of those who are from that professional background and from the Man Be Fat community itself.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So you've got people who are there to try and lose weight, and then you've almost got the people who there have either done it or they know how to do it, or they all definitely know how to do it. And it's just one of those safe spaces that people can go and talk about weight openly and have fun and play football at the same time.
Yeah, and do you know what? The weight is very much at the heart of everything we do. You know, so we do a number of things at Man Be Fat Football to make sure that actually you can't... It's not a league for overweight guys. It's a league for overweight men who want to make changes. You know, you can go and play six-a-side football anywhere, and I think it's really important that we preserve that behaviour change element of what we do. So we do things like drafts every three seasons so that we don't create super teams of guys who have all lost weight and then some of the other guys who are struggling both on the pitch and off the pitch. We try and mix those guys up. Mm. Often the guys who are the biggest losers will go on to be captains, for example. Also, when guys get to their goal weight or get to a healthy BMI, we don't throw them off the program. So they enter into a different scoring system. So we have a maintenance scoring system. So that effectively, because a lot of those guys still want that accountability of being able to support their teammates. They still want that accountability of stepping on the scales each week. And it really is a community. You know, it's a space where a lot of guys will talk about things that they just wouldn't with, even with childhood mates or down the pub, you know, real life mental health struggles. We've just released a video a few weeks ago on our YouTube channel, talking to four guys from our Scottish Man B Fat clubs. And actually two of those made attempts at taking their own life, and actually then talked about how actually being part of a community like Man B Fat has started to give them a newfound purpose, a newfound friends group, and has sort of really battled some of their struggles with social isolation. So yeah, it's, you know, we often use a tagline of more than football, and it really is, you know, the guys are a really welcoming community whichever club you go to.
Yeah, I think that's the key thing, as you said, like the community side of things and the accountability side, because you guys are actually at our local club in Margate. That's where I saw him about six months ago. I think it's the first time I actually saw it, just because we were playing an hour earlier than normal. Sort of saw it and kind of had a look into it, as if to say, like, what, you know, what's it all about? Like, cause I've never seen the branding or anything like that, and it was one of those, oh, that looks quite cool and looks quite interesting. Like, we've got our own sort of league and things that we play, and to be fair, some of the lads there have lost, you know, a significant amount of weight just in a complete random group. I think there's probably two or three of us that were friends that invited a couple of mates and then just get a couple more mates in. And I assume it's very similar with the Man V Fat thing. You know, you just get a few more randomers in and you meet people, and then you obviously get that connection going. And as you said, that community together. And then before you know it, you've got two, three, four teams of people that you're playing regularly and bits and pieces like that, I suppose.
Absolutely. I mean, Margate is a great example of a community club. You know, if you wanted to ever go down and film an episode from there, I'm sure you'd get some incredible stories. I mean, Adam, the coach down at Margate, it's Adam you spoke to, but you would never believe that Adam was like 6 or 7 stone heavier than he is now. And they do an amazing, you know, they do a lot of work for charity down there. I think they were recently took part in the Diabetes UK Step Challenge. I think they do stuff for local food banks and things. So, you know, way beyond just the football and weight loss there, they're really engaged with the local community. And yeah, I mean, I'll be completely honest with you. I mean, I'm fairly well travelled around the UK a lot of time from going to football matches and stuff like that. And obviously from this job, but there's a number of places that, when I looked at it, I never thought, oh, we'll have a Man B Fat League in, you know, Newport, or we'll have a Man B Fat League in Margate, or whatever. You know, there's some places that I didn't even know existed and now have a club of like 100 guys playing Man B Fat football there week in, week out. So yeah, it's a bit surreal at times when you go down to places and see that sort of traction there. But often it's because there's such a good community and a fantastic coach down there. You know, they're the centrepiece of everything we do.
Yeah, I can well imagine.
Yeah. Fascinating. And that behavioural piece that you were speaking about, so I work in, my background is HR, so behavioural things is really fascinating. Is there something then that you've linked and that you work on in terms of behaviour?
Yeah, so I mean, in terms of, I suppose, the stuff that makes guys tick. I mean, firstly, the brand. So, you know, getting people to buy into what you're doing. And I remember when we first started out, as I say, my background is very much public health. So I'm used to having funded services, you know, to help people stop smoking, or children's weight management services, or that type of thing. So our first sort of angle when we started Man B Fat Football was to go out and reach out to funders. And so many of them were saying, well, do you know what? We've really struggled to engage men on weight loss journeys before. And the idea of tying in football is brilliant. We can see this being a huge success. But we've got to be really careful as the NHS or as a council about using the word fat. So could you just call it sort of Man V Healthy Weight Football, please? And we're like, I don't think it's got the same ring. I don't think if I see that on like Facebook advert, I'm gonna sign up to that. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it needs to be snappy, doesn't it?
This is it. Guys buy into being part of the Man B Fat community. They absolutely embrace it. They're proud of it. You know, we've got coaches, we've got members who will wear Man B Fat gear everywhere. I mean, there was a coach who I saw their anniversary photo. They were taking their wife out the other day, for a meal, and they were still in man beef hat gear. Like, you know,
love that.
They want somebody to go, what's this all about? And then they'll recruit them to sign up to their man beef hat football league. Because amazing. They want to support as many guys as humanly possible. So I think the name, the brand, the belonging, the community part is a big part. The scoring system. So, you know, nobody wants to be the guy who lets the team down, right? Mm. And, you know, you don't want to be the one who's going over your start weight and giving an own goal. You don't want to be the one who, if everybody else has lost weight that week and then they lose by one goal, and that was the goal that you could have achieved if you'd not gone for that food or you'd gone out for that walk or whatever it is. Mm. The sort of the peer support piece, so that whole piece around, do you know what, I don't know how to fix this, but actually I've got 3 or 4 friends here in my team who do, because they've been there, done it. What's worked for them, and how do I sort of integrate that into my daily life? And they're all things, and I think that purpose and that belonging as well, you know, giving guys, so many guys do know how to make healthier lifestyle choices. So, you know, not everyone is a nutritionist or a diet expert or a PT by any means, but 9 out of 10 times people can look at a bowl of food and go, do you know what, maybe that's more than I need, or can look outside and go, do you know what, even though it's raining, I'm still going to go for that walk. And you know, once you've got something on the line that pushes you over to do that, or a bunch of friends who are willing to embrace it with you, it makes a massive, massive difference.
No, absolutely. I think, yeah, I think the sort of concept you've got of that accountability is perfect. You know, I myself, you know, I've been trying to lose weight for a while, and it's, you've hit the nail on the head, like, do I really need that massive bowl of food? Do I need to have that McDonald's or, you know, whatever it may be, because it's ease and things like that. But having that accountability and that fallback, and if you're with a group of, you know, randomers to begin with that you never know, and you all come together for that one common goal, it does force you to be like, oh, I can't let them down. You know, especially if you get on well with them as well. You have that banter, as it were, with the lads, and they're like, oh, come on, mate, what are you doing? You can't have that. How come you put on a pound this week? And I can just imagine it. And Will's sitting there sort of smirking, because he knows I would be that person that lets him down. He'd be like, mate, come on, why have you not done that?
eating your burger with your knife and fork, as you tend to do, which is still quite strange.
Don't keep bringing it up. It was one time. Come on. One time.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey guys, here at the Football Drop Podcast, we'd love to hear all your comments, feedback and funny stories. If you'd like us to share them on the pod, please email us at footballdroppodcast@hotmail.com. Thank you.
I think the interesting thing on this is the mental health side of things as well, is the improvement of mental health. We've had a few guests on who have written different books and things like that, and try to help, looked at football and how that improves mental health, and just by the nature of it being football and exercise, it's going to help do that as well as help people lose weight, which is amazing.
Oh, I mean, the mental health side is undoubtedly huge. You know, I mean, you guys, I was talking earlier on about some of the sort of the sideline bits and pieces, like stadium hoppers, for example, that I did, and a lot of that was actually because it gave me a buzz, right? I mean, it was something that makes you click. You're spending time with friends. You feel like you've got a purpose behind the brand, so to speak. And it's exactly the same with, you know, people are so proud of their club. You know, the Man v Pat Margate guys would, I'm sure, tell you endlessly all about their club and the things that go on there, because they have that social interaction. They are a team. They have that shared purpose. And, you know, physical activity in itself is great for mental health. So if you're combining that with a like-minded community of supportive people, it's not to say that people won't have their mental health struggles. And I think, you know, it was, I don't know if you chaps have seen the Norwich City video that came out this week, which is a really, really poignant piece and really encourages people to have that conversation with those around them, whether they think that they're sort of quite closed or you know, incredibly open and bubbly. It's still worth checking in, and a lot of the guys at Man v Fat feel like they've got 50, 60, 70 other people who they could reach out to if they needed to. And I think, you know, that's really, really important. You know, we've got to look out for each other in this world. It's not always a smiley, happy place, nearly to quote REM. and you know, it is one of those things where guys have just got to look out for each other, and I think that Man v Fat is a great way of doing that as well.
No, absolutely, and yeah, I think it's, you know, I've said it a couple of times, it is just that togetherness, you know, mental health, as Will said, it's a big part of, well, it seems to become a big part of this podcast over the last kind of year or so, really, just some of the guests we've had on talking about their stories, their struggles, and kind of what they've done about it. But that link with football, right, it's such an incredibly powerful thing. At the end of the day, it's kicking a ball. Like, there's nothing special about it, but it is so special at the same time. There's just so much you can do. So, you know, initiatives like Man v Fat's just, it's mind-blowing just hearing so much more about it.
Ah, thank you. No, I mean, as I say, I mean, I love talking about it, and I love sharing the guys' achievements, and, you know, football is an international language, right? I mean, I always joke with my other half that I could pretty much get into a taxi anywhere in the world, and as long as you've got a couple of words related to football, you can have a sparse conversation where you can speak the language or not.
Absolutely.
You know, it's an icebreaker. It's a conversation opener. And, you know, you chaps will know just as well as I do that when you're passionate about it, whether that is, you know, the EFL, the Premier League, you know, your local Sunday League team or your Man v Fat football club. It's a way to connect with people. And, you know, that doesn't have to just be here in the UK as well. You know, you can jump on online forums and end up chatting to people from all sorts of incredible clubs as well. You know, and I think that worldwide piece, I mean, Man v Fat, we certainly think that there's an opportunity to go way beyond the UK shores. You know, football is a global game. And obesity is a global problem. So, you know, that's one of the things that we're looking at the moment, is how we can support guys outside of the UK who want to play Man v Fat football and potentially other sports in future as well.
Amazing. Yeah, I was going to ask, so what's the kind of the next stages then? So international branch out is the sort of next route, is it?
Yeah, so international branch out. So we're already looking at piloting some clubs potentially in North America next year. So we're really excited about that. We're also looking at a second sport here in the UK as well. We've been speaking to some club partners about that sport as well. So, so we're taking some fairly big steps. We think that in terms of, you know, 150 clubs, our aim was always to try and get within 30 minutes of almost any man in the UK, so that if somebody wanted to take up Man v Fat football, they could. I would say we're pretty close to that if you take out the areas of natural beauty. You know, you take out national parks and you're not a million miles away. There's still a little bit of work to do, I think, in Scotland in particular. So we've got six clubs up there, but actually there's probably a bit more we could do there. Wales has an incredible network of clubs. You know, our biggest Man v Fat football club in the UK is in Swansea, with 170 guys playing Man v Fat every week. So the other thing we want to do, we want to keep sort of celebrating our community as well. So this year we had our first ever in-person Man v Fat awards, which was brilliant. We had guys from all over the UK who were nominated. About 200 joined us in the National Football Museum. for the award ceremony. We had Tom Davis was the Tom Davis, the comedian and actor. He was our presenter.
We love Tom Davis on this pod. We literally saw him about 3-4 weeks ago as well.
So he is literally the nicest chap you can possibly imagine. And he told a story that talked about, and this was something that sort of went viral on the back of Soccer Aid, because he was playing in Soccer Aid.
Yeah.
He at the time, he was carrying a bit of weight, and he's gone on a real sort of fitness journey now, and he's looking sort of top drawing. He's a massive man as well. I remember standing next to him while we were presenting, and literally, I mean, he was sort of 6'4", whatever. I'm 6 foot, and I still felt like very much like that. But yeah, and he was the nicest chap. Obviously, a massive West Ham fan. But yeah, he basically at Soccer Aid, when he was playing, he came off the field, and he found that commentator, I think it was Clive Tilsley, had basically like fat shamed him whilst he was playing, like mocked him and talked about his body shape and all of that type of thing. And it was kicking off viral on Twitter. And obviously he's just picked up his phone. He's just going through with a complete mix of emotions.
Yeah.
I believe, and I want to say it is definitely, I'll have to check it's Clive Tilsley here, because I don't want to slate a commentator. That hasn't
So, right, Richard, we don't spout that many facts on this pod.
Yeah, it's the bottom or something. Yeah, and I don't think he got asked back to do Soccer Aid again because of that. And obviously, the positivity of Soccer Aid is designed to sort of dispel, and then to share. Mm. For that to then come out. So yeah, really, really nice chat. But we've been blessed actually with some real characters from the football world getting involved. We have our amazing losers game every year. So the guys who, it's pretty much the sort of 35, 40 guys who lose the most body weight in the UK percentage wise. We invite along to be in a special amazing losers game, and we hire out a stadium. So we've had Northampton Town, and we've had the Bet365 Stoke City Stadium. And we basically get the guys to come along. We put them into two teams, usually a north-south type of thing. We get their weight loss printed on as their shirt number.
Oh, and fantastic.
Then their name on the shirt with a special Man B Fat kit. So this year we had all the sort of the pies and knives and forks all over the kits. They were wicked. From our friends at Hope and Glory, who do our kit sponsors, and they can make sort of bespoke kits for Man B Fat teams. We'll have to go on to the team names in a minute, actually, because there's some incredible ones. But we get in basically professional ex-pros or managers to come in and manage the guys to give them this football experience. So, some of the guys played in front of their friends and family at the Bet365 Stadium this year. And this year we had Jim Magilton, the ex-Ipswich central midfielder, and he's managing a team over in Ireland at the moment. And we had Peter Taylor, who was the England manager who gave David Beckham the England captaincy for the first time. We've had Ian Holloway involved as well, and Ian is hilarious. The man is an absolute gem.
Is he way he seems on TV and in his interviews?
He is even more fun. I'm going to say he's hilarious. We visited our club of the year as a surprise with Ian on awards night. When we did it online. It was in that sort of weird time where there was a lot of stuff that you were allowed to go out and about, but still there was sort of restrictions on things. And we basically streamed the awards, and then we turned up to a few of the guys who were watching on an online stream. And they pulled up the dance that Ian did in, I think it was the Old Trafford dressing room with Zaha.
Oh God!
When they won in the FA Cup, and Ian just started doing it in front of him. He's like, "You don't need that on YouTube." He started dancing in the middle of the race. He's like, "It's honestly the man is an absolute ledge." We want to try and do more with Ian in future because he's just so fun to have around.
What a guy! So
please get in contact with him.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, hit us up, please, Richard. That'd be amazing. So these team names, then, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, so do you know what? So part of Man B Fat is that guys can pick their own team name, so to speak. And, we have a lot of creative team namers out there, I would say.
I've seen a few. They're brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, Porky Blinders. You've got OB City is always a favourite. it's the geographical place name ones that get me. So we've got, like, in Leighton, the postcode is E10. And so the guys are E10 less FC.
I love that one.
So good, right? And there's a Manchester one. There's like a central Manchester team that are called like the 28 Stone Roses. they're just brilliant, you know. Ham Saladice, that's always a favourite.
Ham Saladice. I like that.
They're worth checking out. You can literally go on like Man V Fat Football and then search a league, and then you can bring the league up and all the team names are out there. But yeah, the Balotelli bees, they're always good.
There was Olympic mayonnaise earlier that I saw. Fantastic.
Yeah, always a favourite, yeah. And what I don't understand, I mean, we've got 150 leagues up and down the UK, so you're probably looking at like 600-700 teams individually, and then every three seasons we mix up the team, so often they'll do a new name, and yet still somehow you will find a new team name in there, which just, you know, you're just like, how's nobody come up with this before? But yeah, there's some crackers out there if you got a chance to have a little look.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing this evening then. I'm like the other half's home. I'm like, hang on, I've got to look at team names.
Reset podcast, I swear.
Yeah, that's it. Reset. That's what we normally say, isn't it, Will, when we're down the pub. Yeah. We're just researching.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. I'm just trying to think of what else to say. So how do people get involved then exactly? How do they find their local club? Just for the listeners out there that, obviously, they're going to listen to this. They're going to love the idea of it. If there's any chaps that are thinking, yeah, I need a way to lose some weight, shed a few pounds and get involved. So what do they need to do?
Yep. So any guy who is basically aged over 18, has a BMI of over 27.5, which is basically 2/3 of the male population in the UK. So if you're not sure, the odds are in your favour that you can join. Effectively, you can just literally pop onto your favourite search engine, put Man Be Fat, find a club in there, and that will take you to the club finder. If you put in your postcode or your location, then it will basically bring up all the clubs within, I think it's about 20 miles of you. We've got clubs running almost every night of the week. So if, you know, you work a Wednesday night, for example, but you're free on Fridays, then that's probably the club for you. You quite literally pop on there, you register. I think it's £10 still to register. You register there as a player, and then effectively you can join up to any club as long as there's a space. A small number of clubs are on waiting lists at the moment, but generally speaking, we get guys in within a month if there is a waiting list on there, because obviously some guys have injuries or want to move on and want to play mainstream football and all that type of thing, so spaces do pop up. Once they're registered for that club, effectively the coach will give them a call, usually within a couple of days, and say, yep, we've got a space for you. Come and join the Olympic Mayonnaise team. And from there on, the subs effectively are typically £31 a month or £33 a month in London. So it's in line with most sort of weight loss slimming style clubs. But obviously you're getting half an hour of football for that as well. So if you're comparing it to a normal sort of five-a-side, six-a-side league, and that's all you want to do is play football, then it probably isn't the club for you. But if you're motivated to go out, lose weight, meet some new people, and play some football, then Man Be Fat is absolutely for you.
Perfect. Fantastic.
That sounds great. I might look into that myself, you know. I just checked my BMI. I was like, do I fit? Unfortunately, yeah, I do. So probably something I need to look into.
Where would be your nearest club, Will? Is it Margate?
It would be... I'd have thought so, yeah. There might be something a bit more local in Canterbury, but probably Margate, yeah.
I think there is a club in Canterbury as well, I think. So we had an amazing chap, actually, from down that way who think, lost sort of 4 or 5 stone. I think he went on to be the Canterbury coach or an assistant coach very nearby anyway. So, yeah, may well be. But, yeah, have a little look. It's so difficult. We've got 150 of them. It's like I can't remember which ones.
Like an encyclopedia.
They'll say, we're just like, what about this one? Come on, Richard. What about this one?
Yeah, let's
take a Christmas team speed round quiz now. It's how many of the other I'd love to know that.
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
So, just to divert off into the Premier League, then, who do you firstly think will win the Premiership, and then if you can give us your top four, and then who do you think will go down?
Okay, so it hurts me to say it, but I think City are still going to win the Premier League. If I were to say Arsenal, I'd just be jinxing myself. So I'm going to stick with City. Do you know, I actually, with a colleague of mine, I had a bet on that Brighton aren't going to finish in the top four. And I'm sticking with that, but he's adamant that Brighton are going to make the top four this year, which would be an incredible story, right?
It would be amazing.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic. But, I don't think they're going to do it.
No, I think I agree with you, especially with European football on the cards as well. And they're going to be going for the domestic cups as well, no doubt. So, yeah, it's going to be tight.
I mean, the question is as well, who's going to come in January and poach some of their players? Because I mean, it's a fairly regular occurrence for them, right? I mean, don't get me wrong, they know how to recruit.
Yeah, we were literally saying this last week. They just pluck these players from God knows where. They could be like playing for Guernsey or something, and they'll be like, yeah, they could fit the mould. And all of a sudden, they're a Premier League star in 12, 18 months' time. I just don't know how they do it.
They're partners with Football Manager, right? So, I mean, that's it all. So I think it will be City top, Arsenal second. I can't see United or Chelsea making it this year.
Okay.
And I'm not. A lot of people will name me for this one, but I'm not feeling Liverpool either. I don't rate them this season. And they've I think Klopp lost the plot. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Newcastle might sneak the fourth place.
Yeah, who's third though?
Probably Spurs.
Oh, don't say it. Don't say that.
I mean, again, it's a self-confessed prophecy that they'll almost certainly mess it up. But again, like, Ange, the manager in there now, like...
Just doing big things.
I don't like Tottenham, but I have to say, I like him. I think he's got a good vibe to him. I think he comes across as a good guy. And I think it's interesting that, you know, obviously they've got rid of Kane and the team's starting to come together, and you'd have never, ever. And it's not even that great a squad either. I mean, there's not a lot of players that are going to get poached from there. So you'd almost think they're all going to stay together. Mm. Is Son still out of contract at the end of the season?
No, I think he signed a new deal, I think, didn't he?
He's signed a new deal, is he?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm sure signed a 2 or 3 year deal. Don't quote me on it. I mean, we normally spit loads of facts on this pod, but yeah. I'm sure he signed a new deal because of Ange coming in and sort of reassuring him this is what it's going to be, making him captain and stuff. I think that was part of the deal.
And ultimately, what does a deal mean, right? I mean, admittedly, Mr. Levy is likely someone who's going to hold you to it, but 9 out of 10 times, there's a way out of that based on cash. So you take the short-term hit the short-term benefit of getting the wage increase, and ultimately if you want to go on strike, you'll go on strike still, which to me is not cool.
It's not the way to go.
No, I mean, admittedly, it's how we got Trossard, so
yeah, it's not the way to go. However, if it plays in your favour, it's a different story.
Yeah, different when he's
up. On the other case, I can overlook absolutely shamefully.
And who's your bottom three then? Who's your relegation candidates?
I think there's every chance that it will be the same three that came up. I think that is it. I mean, Is it Bournemouth year? They've made some interesting changes there. It could be Bournemouth year. I think Everton will have enough about them. But again, they're a team who's... I mean, they had a big win, I think, a few weeks ago against a side that you'd have never... I can't remember who it was, but who you'd have never backed them against.
Was it Brentford? Were they 3-0?
Yeah, it might have been, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and everyone's like, whoa, where did that come from?
Yeah. Yeah, they seem to be on the up. Whatever you think of Sean Dyche, she is a man to keep you in her league.
He is. Will knows that very well. He's a big fan of Sean Dyche and the Premier League manager. Been an ongoing joke for about a year now saying that Sean Dyche is a Premier League level, and Will just disagrees completely.
I think that depends on what you're trying to achieve. He's a manager who will do a job, but is he going to take you to the next level? I don't know if he's ever had a top 10 finish? I don't know.
No.
I think he did with Burnley, didn't
he? Yeah, I think Burnley might have come 10th,
ninth or something like that. They did, but yeah, it's not the most attractive football, though, is it?
No, and I mean, it depends. I mean, it's lies, damned lies, and statistics, right? I mean, Sam Allardyce is the only England manager with a 100% win record. 100%, so,
exactly. Yeah.
It's how you frame it.
That.
Exactly. You can always manipulate any stat that you want to make it look good, make it look positive. So you reckon Burnley, Sheffield and Luton are going straight back down?
Yeah, I think if I had to chuck one more in, I would probably save Burnley and it would be Bournemouth. But it's going to be three of those four, I think, with Everton surviving by the skin of their teeth.
What order do you think they'll be as well? So we ask every guest this.
No.
We're not just grilling you.
it was interesting because I was listening to something the other week where a lot of people were trying to get odds on Luton to go down with no points. Yeah, this was, and I think it was that day actually that they got their first win.
First
points on the board, ironically. But yeah, I think they probably will be bottom. I think then it will be Sheffield United. I mean, that drumming that Sheffield United took the other day was...
Yeah, that was heavy against Newcastle.
Big one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think I can name a Sheffield United player at the moment. I'm trying to think of who is it that makes them tick? Who's their go-tos?
Can't either now you said that. Yeah.
No,
I would have said Billy Sharp, but I think he left last season, didn't he?
Yeah, did he go out and play in America? Was he somewhere else? But yeah, I mean, he's never done it at Premier League level, has he? So
no, I think he left last season, didn't he?
Never in a lot of time. I'm gonna have to look now. I'm gonna have to try and have a look. Who's in that Sheffield United squad? People will be shouting at their device.
100%. Every Sheffield United listener is absolutely scathing us right now. Like, come on!
Man beef up players in Sheffield now. Who might be able to join the Sheffield United squad? You never know.
You never know. Especially the way they're playing. Yeah, you really never know.
Yeah, absolutely dire. But yeah, I think that's the way it'll unfold. I mean, West Ham are looking good, aren't they? Seventh.
Certainly are.
Yeah, I think they're a bit of a surprise this season. I thought West Ham would struggle.
A lot of Hammers wanted him out, didn't they? A lot of Hammers wanted him out last season. And it was only in that European Cup that saved him. But, I mean, I like him. I like Moyes a lot. And I think, I think he does good things there on a okay budget. It's not a bad budget. It's not a good budget. You know, they've always done things well. But they've got high expectations, haven't they, Hammers fans, typically?
Yeah, which I don't understand where that comes from.
They want to go back to the years of Michael Carrick and Joe Cole and Glenn Johnson and Paolo Di Canio. And I mean, don't get me started on retro 90s football. that was the squad, wasn't it? That under Harry Redknapp, a few others in there as well.
It was the era as well, wasn't it? The era of football was that mid sort of 90s, late 90s, I think.
Ludo McCloskey, the goalie from Moscow, they had him. He was a fan favourite.
Yeah, definitely. Will, anything else you wanted to add at all?
I just wanted to ask how Colchester do. How are they going to be doing? What's going on with them? I know you said about the 5-0 drubbing, but What's your predictions for them?
Well, you know what? So we had Ben Garner come in tail end of last season, and he's been taking us through previously at Swindon, previously at Charlton. Colchester's an interesting one. We've got a, I would say, very stuck in his ways, maybe chairman. I don't know if you saw the story that came out last year. So when we were teetering on the sort of the relegation battle, so to speak, it was looking at a high possibility that we could have been going into non-league. A few of the fans sort of stayed afterwards and heckled him a bit. And one of them was like, get out of our club, get out of our club. And he turned around to somebody and said, well, strictly speaking, it's not your club, it's my club.
Fair point.
He's not wrong. not wrong, but it's not going to be one that's going to win you the hearts and minds of fans. And he's, you know, he comes out and he talks quite a lot about, you know, getting the club in a better position with, you know, building out the academy. The training ground used to be called the Talent Factory. I think they've scrapped that. He's undoubtedly, as do almost all lower league chairmen, invested a lot of money in the club. There's no way around that. And I don't think any Colchester fan would ever say that we feel like there's any sort of financial insecurity by having him there. But I believe the year that he took the club over was the year that we were in our highest position ever. We just missed out on the playoffs to go into the Prem. I mean, it was an insane time.
Oh, wow.
I remember, I think we finished something like ninth in the championship that year, having come up the year before. And then we went down, then we went down again. And then it looks like at some point in the potential sort of future, we're gonna go down again. Although I don't want to say it. I think we are the club who has had the longest time in the EFL without a promotion. I think that's sort of 16, 17 years. But the squad is not a bad squad. You know, I mean, we've got sort of John Akinde up top, who's getting to the end of his useful life years. He's like a slightly lesser Akinfenwa. but, you know, he's a good man to lead the line. We've got Joe Taylor on loan from Luton. He was one of the guys who scored one of the penalties that took them up from the championship. We had Longstaff. Is it Longstaff? On loan, the lesser Longstaff brother.
Lesser. Is it Sean or Matty?
I'm sure he's a lovely guy, but lesser in terms of Premier League appearances.
Yeah.
You know, we've got some good players there, players who have come through the academy who look like they could be really good prospects as well. And Garner's trying to play like almost every club in the Premier League is trying to play now. You know, they're trying to play out from the back, but I'm just not sure we've got the personnel to do it. We've got the personnel to do it, but doing it successfully is a very different thing, seemingly. you know, we brought a guy in centre midfield who was playing Belgian Premier League last year, and for some reason nobody in the Championship would touch him because they didn't rate the Belgian Premier League. But actually, you know, it's a great standard. And, you know, he's taken a one-year deal to try and prove himself.
Amazing.
You know, there's a number of good players in there, but, yeah, something isn't working yet. We'll see. I think it would be... The other problem with our chairman is that he's had a... In sort of the 10, 15 years that he's been there, I think he's only actually appointed in the last 7 or 8 years an external manager maybe once. So Ben Garner is certainly the first one for a very long time. Normally he would promote somebody who's doing our youth setup or our academy because that's sort of his very much his belief. But I think he was burnt from the days of Paul Lambert when we in the Championship we smashed Norwich 7-1.
Yeah, and then he left and went to Norwich that same week, wasn't it?
That's exactly right, yeah. So, and released two of our best players in the mix as well. Johnny Jackson and Dean Hammond were both at the club at that time, both really good centre midfielders. Released them both and then left. It was quite upsetting.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's a bit of a bitter taste, isn't it? For sure.
Yeah, Paul Lambert is never a welcome man in Colchester, I think. Actually, Funny enough, he's burnt his bridges in Ipswich now as well. So, wasn't he before McKenna, I think? Or he was there before McKenna. So, he's not overly, and I think he didn't do that great at Norwich in the end. So, he just won't come to East Anglia anymore, I think.
He's away from there.
One of those. So, I mean, as I say, I think it would be a shame to change the manager at this stage, because I think he's got the right ideas, and I think maybe get him through the January transfer window and see. But if you're in that bottom two, it's a very, very dangerous place to be. And the conference, obviously, now is very difficult to get out of. I think there's a couple of clubs that have been there. I mean, Chesterfield, I remember them playing, I think, championship-type level 15, 20 years ago, and this is their first foray there where they might actually come back into the Football League. And for some clubs, it's the end. I mean, for some clubs, they go down and you never see them again. You know, they're lost or just give up. So, avoiding that. But I mean, as a football fan, is just avoiding League Two relegation particularly exciting? Not really.
You got the Arsenal side to keep you interested as well.
I know.
It's a balancing act.
Supporting two sides, but they're so far apart from each other.
It's fine. We'll let you off, don't worry. You get a free pass on this one. Richard, thank you for coming on. Listeners, we will give you all the links to Man v Fat so you can go and join, sign up, find out a little bit more about it. Just want to say a massive thank you for coming on today. And listeners, if you wanted any more information, I'm sure you will find everything on the website. A massive thank you from us. And we'll speak to you guys soon.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Please give us 5-star on your podcast provider, whatever one that may be, and help us #DropThePod.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Only football can make you feel like this.